Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Gene.
This is Colbert.
And listen, this is part two of the conversation we had with my boy, our boy, Alan A.B. And look, you don't want to miss this episode, man. This next part of the podcast, we talk about a lot. And if you like part one, you're definitely going to like part two. So enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. We didn't even want to cut it to two parts, but we had to, right? So tune in right now.
We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith, Grind, and Inspire podcast.
And that little seed
exploded
into breaking records on Revolt with Diddy, like going on tour five months, working 6 years with, you know what I'm saying? And then working with Jim Jones, which is another legend, like working with all these people.
Fab.
Like working with all these people that so many people would love the opportunity to work with, you know? And you just never know. But you have to try. You have to be consistent. Like you didn't give up. Like some people would have gave up after 5 months, after one email of calling Aubrey. Like you did 2 years, and you were and I want people to really understand this. If you didn't get it, he was sending footage for free for 2 years. Like
willingly.
And every time
I was just happy they was answering my email. Like, oh, y'all want it? Oh, good. Thank you.
And he's like, I got a new
drone. Everything.
Here's the drone, guys.
New cameras. New every time cameras. I got a new camera, I was stopping the office. He knew me from just stopping in and checking in. Like, I was just coming in every other day.
Yeah. Yo. But you know, that mindset. See, this podcast is all about the mindset of entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
And when you see success, when I tell people success leaves clues, and you just study people who do it.
Yeah.
And that's why we bring people on the show who've done it in their own respective craft.
You know, walking in these rooms, I look at everything differently now. Like, all right.
Opportunity.
Where am I
adding value?
Where am I going to find value, or how much can I maximize my potential here? You know, because it's two ways. How can I add value here, maximizing that?
Yeah.
How can I maximize what I get out of
here?
So walking in the rooms with Kim, of course, me linking up with Diddy was eventually going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Getting into Revolt was eventually going to happen. And then getting into the, you know, other levels. Like, you know, me and Ramon Dukes are really good friends to this day. The president of Revolt at the time, me and him, that's my having mentors too. Let me say that.
100%.
Some people just want to be know-it-alls, man. We wasn't born here just with everything. We didn't born knowing everything. We got to learn every day. I'm learning every day until I die. Every day until this is over, I'm learning. And I would hate to be like ignoring all these opportunities to benefit myself by being stubborn. Like, there's so many things you can learn from the people around us. Having mentors is so important.
100%.
Ramon Dukes, one of my mentors in the game. President of Revolt. He used to be a president at MTV. And he's gone on to do so much work after that. So it's like, how would I not take your advice? Like, me and him be on the phone every day. I thought I was annoying, but now it's like, it's sort of weird not to talk to him on the phone because we're so close. And it's just like...
And that's so cool, man. That's such a good, powerful relationship just to, as a mentor, you know? Like, there's certain people like that's always around. Like for me, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. If I didn't know, I'm like, I know he's super busy, but he always takes the time to talk to me, you know? And you learn and you see certain things. That's why it's very important to make sure that you surround yourself with positive people.
Oh, yeah.
Like... Very important. And you can't do it by yourself.
Not at all.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't. You need a team, and you need people around you that's gonna lift you up. But the one key thing that I keep hearing with you is you always figured out how to add value. At first it was, how can I make this benefit me? But then you realize quickly, how can I benefit the people around me? And I think why a lot of people aren't successful is because they stuck with the how can this benefit me mentality versus how can I benefit, how can everyone benefit from my gifts and talents, right? But it was more of what can you give me? Takers. And we talk about that in my book, the taker mentality. Even setting up the podcast here.
Yeah.
Like there's certain things I didn't know. Yeah. Certain things breed it, though. Certain, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And then he just comes with knowledge, years of knowledge, 20 years of knowledge, and comes in and says, oh, you know what? Do this. He was saying ISOs and stuff. I didn't know what the hell he was talking about, to be real. I was sitting down with my little laptop. I'm like, all right. Yeah, I'm letting them do this. Yeah. They started Bree and him started talking about cameras. And,
shout out to Bree.
Shout out to Bree. Like, you know? But here's the thing. It's like, every adding value. So I see why you're so successful, because even with the podcast setting up, you were adding value to us in the production to make it great. It wasn't like, you know what, man, I'm just sit back, whatever y'all doing. This guy was like, there's a voice recorder or audio recorder on the table. Like, that's not ours. Yeah. That's yours. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you're giving us equipment. Yeah. You're adding value.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And I'll never forget this. She won't forget this.
And like, it adds value to him. Like you said, it, in order to get the right sound and anything.
Yes.
Yeah. So when we drop the podcast, we make sure every angle is covered.
Yeah, we got two cameras. Like, but this is
anything I'm in, I want to make it better.
Make it better. Yeah.
And that's it's like,
and that's the entrepreneur in him. That's
not to say it's not good. I don't want to sound egotistical,
but it's not.
You're just trying to add the value to whatever you're
adding the value. People don't get it. When you're part of something, even if you're not benefiting from it directly, like, you add value to it so that you become irreplaceable. There was an episode, I don't know what number it was. It was with Dave Saber. On that episode, he says, you want to go to work and be the one that's irreplaceable. Right? Yeah. You don't want to be the one just sipping,
bro.
Like, that naked.
We could do a whole nother podcast about that. When I tell you, I used to sleep at Revo, I used to sleep at my dad. Not sleep, because I wasn't sleeping. Yeah. I would do overnights there.
Wow.
And I would sit there and be like, oh shit, it's about 8:30 in the morning. Shit, let me go to Foot Locker and just buy a whole new outfit. I was literally staying at the office all night. My wife is like, babe, I made dinner. I'm like, yo, put it in the microwave or put it in the fridge. I'm not coming home.
I'm not coming home.
Because it's like, I knew that.
But
it
shout
was
out
like,
to your wife too, man. Because
shout out to the missus, man.
Because look, being on the grind like that, not coming home.
Yeah.
Not like, everybody's okay.
That's a whole nother level of commitment.
But you know what, too? It's steps in the process. Like, she, look, it's like, it's like a Bible saying, right? Trust those who trust her with a little get trusted with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like it just got there. Like, over the years, while we were developing our relationship, I was touring. And I wasn't cheating or none of that. Mm-hmm. I was coming back home like, oh, this is money. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to invest in this. This is just another step in the process.
The legacy.
So it's like, as you start developing that trust in the process, nights like this is easy because you're just used to it.
Yeah.
Not to say she should be. Biggest to my wife, Monique. I love you, but you know, this is something that, you know, fellas too, keep in mind the space you in. You know, if you have somebody that's not willing to work with you in the space, then you might not need to be with that person.
Mm.
And we don't give ourselves credit enough. Right. We always chasing the cat. I get it. But we also have to realize that our value is in place, and we need to know who's going to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's added nothing but value to my life since we've been together. So
that's what's up.
Shout out to her.
Yeah.
That's some power.
Mm-hmm. I knew she was day one since day one, bro.
Day one, bro.
I've had the barbecue, man.
In the corner.
Yeah.
Day one.
Yeah, man. But listen, this podcast is like, we can stay here forever, man.
We can.
Yeah. And we be having conversations over the phone, bro, for 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, I see how easy it can get,
man. Yeah, it's easy.
Hey,
because, like, yo, bros, when you have, like, me, Kobe, and you, like, we could be here forever.
For real.
So, listen, guys, listen.
Wait, let me touch on one thing.
Okay.
Double XL.
Okay, yes.
Head producer at Double XL after I left Revo. Let me not leave that out.
Yes, you know what I mean?
Shout out to my man Kai, you know what I'm saying?
So how did that happen?
Well, this is the thing, like, setting goals too. One of the goals I had with Comedy Block was to finally sell a show, to pitch a show. So, like, when I was at Revo, I was rolling ideas out like crazy because I knew, like, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. And, like, me and my man Kai, we were talking about doing... I was really building with my friend Ralph and Kai. Shout out to Ralph and Kai. Actually, shout out to everybody from Revo. Shout out to Michelle, Esperance. Shout out to my friend Karima. Shout out to Lana. Alana, I'm sorry, because she was one of the people that was in there like, no, you're dope, push it, go ahead. Go. Sometimes having friends like that just support you really help you believe in yourself. And I believe in all my sisters that was a part of my Revo family with me, because they've all gone on and do dope shit. Like, one of my friends, Dina. Dina's at... Oh my gosh, Dina Morrison is at I'm sorry, one of my friends, Dina, is at Tidal right now. Mm-hmm. My homegirl Michelle is one of the head producers at Revolt right now. Mm-hmm. My homegirl Karima went on to do dope things. My homegirl Alana went on to work with Lionsgate. Like, wow. Everybody sort of spoiled out. I went on to work at XXL with my boy Kai. And one of the show ideas that, you know, I was helping Kai develop there was a show called Struggle Plates. He took it and he actually made it happen on XXL. And I actually got a chance to work with him on this idea at XXL because it was his idea. You know, I was just happy to be a part of the process at another platform with some friends.
Yeah.
And I've recently, you know, I left XXL and I actually just sold my first show.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
So that's what the call was about.
Yeah.
Now it all makes sense.
Yes. Paperwork in.
Yeah, bring
Man.
On that
signatures
real quick.
Is on paper. Yeah.
take us along that. Because like you started the show how long ago?
So Catching a Vibe is a dark I had at Revolt. I actually got greenlit at Revolt.
It got greenlit.
Revolt's New York office got closed down because of budget issues. I got offered to go to the West Coast. I opted to stay here because we just bought a house in New York. I was trying to just keep my roots here.
Mm-hmm.
I went on to work at XXL after that. But the show idea I had was called Catching the Vibe. So in between working at Revolt and XXL, and this is over the last year and a half, right? I was like, man, I'm so used to putting in my time and energy into all these people's platforms. And working as a producer, anybody that's a producer will notice, it's a revolving door. So if you're a young producer and you're thinking, like, I just want to be a TV producer, keep in mind what this world is like. You could work at MTV today. You don't retire like a doctor does in 15 years. You don't retire like a lawyer does in 20 years. You're not going to retire with a pension like a nurse will in like a bunch of years. Like, these doors revolve so often. So you're probably going to be on for the timeline of a show.
Yeah.
Like Wildin' Out. You might be a producer at the network for this timeline, which was a great show. Shout out to Nick Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my friend Jordan as well. Jordan is one of the people that has produced Wildin' Out with Nick, and he also produces the Nick Cannon's podcast, which is dope. I just saw the one with him and Kanye.
Yes.
Shout out to Jordan. Shout out to
Nick.
You guys are amazing. I love what you're doing, and that's a part of where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
Learning that these are revolving doors and that our equity isn't as valued in these employee positions, I wanted to find ways to get more equity in the game. And ownership is the only way in. You can't really come in without any foot to stand on. So I learned that I could sit here and produce a bunch of one-offs for y'all and that would be worthless in a year or two. Or I could produce my own shit and have some value if you end up selling it to another platform or if you end up keeping it on your platform and getting splits and getting part of the share of revenue that comes with it, you know? This is a whole nother conversation.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of us are starting to learn because we watch, you know, people like Joe Budden going through his whole situation with Spotify and even, you know, Tuma, who's also another part of Spotify, but now he's at YouTube. And I'm proud of YouTube. I'm proud of Tuma for going somewhere where his value is seen. You know what I mean? But it's like we've seen situations like he started the Rap Caviar playlist and they don't even give this man the respect that he deserves. You know, Joe Budden, he came to Spotify and brought a whole new share of audience over there. He didn't get the respect he deserved, and I feel like that's how they do us sometimes. So it's like we're learning a whole new part of the game now when it comes to learning how our splits are, learning how ownership works, and you know, really, if you're on top of this, there's no way you could lose. You know, so keep in mind, I started creating a show called Catching the Vibe with DJ Magic from Hot 97. He has a yacht here in New York at one of the few black-owned yacht clubs at that. Because there's not too many black-owned yacht clubs in America.
You don't hear about that.
At all. Mind you, in New York. Right? Magic is a part of one of the few black-owned yacht clubs in America. He DJs at Hot 97 for years. He's been a staple at the station. And he just got picked up on another station in Atlanta. DJ Magic said, "Yo, Al, I got this yacht, man. I want to do this work with you. Because he knew I worked at Revo at the time. And I used to have people in that office every day because I was like, shit, any idea I could have, come on in. Let's build it together.
Yeah.
You know, I was really opening the doors for a lot of people because that's what I wanted. I'm trying to extend the same one. The same needs I needed, I'm trying to give that to somebody else. So I said, people that want to get their shit off, come in, let's work. You know what I mean? So Magic came in there. Magic was like, "Yo, let's do the show on the yacht." I was like, "Bet." You know, he wanted to do Riding Out the Boat series. I was like, "Nah, that's cool. Riding Out was good. Riding Out is actually a great show. I wanted to keep its value by keeping it separate." I was like, "You know, let Riding Out be Riding Out. Let's make this its own show called Catching the Vibe." So I'm not going to talk about the platform. I'm going to wait till we do the releases. But we recently got a TV deal. And we actually got a TV deal for not only Catching the Vibe, we got a TV deal for Riding Out too. We got a two for one.
Wow.
So we got two shows. Licensing. and everything. Amazing. So like, I started catching a vibe with him. Me and him went out on his yacht. Man, $500 just to gas the shit up. Every episode, he's gassing it up. I'm buying food and craft services for the guests. I'm reaching out to artists just like if I worked at Revolt by myself. I was doing it with no team, no PR team, no, you know, hey, email them a call sheet, none of that. I was doing everything like I had the staff that I used to have at Revolt, doing it myself. But learning it, the information was valuable.
Independent.
So I took that information. I said, well, cool. When these artists show up to the yacht club, I'm going to make sure they have drinks and liquor laid out. I'm going to make sure that we got everything professionally laid out. I have a staff here that's going to produce it right. And we're going to do everything on point. We want to make sure that they come here knowing this was very good quality so that they come and relax. So when they came in, like, we produced like 5 episodes. We got King Combs jet skiing around the Statue of Liberty. Shit is dope.
Full circle.
Shout out to King Combs. Shout out to the Combs family, man. Still blessed by them, man. Very blessed. But you know, ultimately, me and Magic, we sat down with so many companies trying to find a way to place this somewhere. And we realized quickly that it ain't easy to sell a show. You know, big ups to Datwan and Vibe, one of the few that actually sat down and said, come in here and show it to my staff without any strings attached. Like, there's very few people that can just do that. And that's why, like, us elevating ourselves and, you know, our peers, it helps a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I went in there one day and Datwan literally was like, yo, put it on the big screen. And he had the whole staff and Vibe looking at the show. And I was like, I wasn't ready. But, you know, he's a good brother. But it's, aside from that, you know, we had opportunity. We had an offer from Apple Music. We had an offer from... we got an offer from Apple Music. We got rejected from XXL. We got rejected from Revolt. You know, we stuck to our guns, and I'm proud of us because we were really gonna go independent with it and just say fuck it. We're gonna put this out by ourselves. And you know, I got a call. Company said, "Yo, send the budget over. Let me see what it costs to produce this." They was willing to meet our terms. 60-40 splits, 70-30 splits on any advertisement we bring to the table. We keep 50% ownership. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. And it's about, you know, down the line, if they want to go, you could either license a show to a company, which means, hey, I could give you a 12-month deal and say, hey, for the next 12 months, you're basically renting this from us. And if you don't like these episodes, we could take it somewhere else. Or you could sell it. You could sell it for a percentage and keep your ownership in it. And if they have a stake in it, now they're entitled to sort of push it further than that year. Because if they want to sell it to another platform or another company or get other deals involved, the lifeline is limitless. So there's so many ways to go about it. But it's a time for me going to XXL, Revolt, me working at MTV for a little bit. I worked at BET for a little bit. I worked with Hot 97 for a little bit. Worked at Power for a little bit.
All that experience, all that information added up.
Yeah. And we just closed the deal. Shout out to my brother, DJ Magic.
Congratulations, man. That's a big feat, bro. But this is where it's the next thing. It's the next level. You always have to go up. You're not going down, you're going up. You know? Next thing you know, you're gonna produce movies, and then you're gonna Fave Grind Spire is gonna be on TV because of Alan. But you see what I'm saying? That's full circle.
Your own network and all that.
We got
For real. That's the goal, bro.
Because you can put original content goal, and you're gonna have you've done it. You know how to do it.
I didn't even know I was a producer for 10 years.
He was producing. He didn't even know he was a producer. What's his name? That told you, yo, bro.
So we was working on Thomas Illmatic documentary. Just side. Before I worked at Revo, my man Dave at MTV said, yo, bro, we need to do some pickup shots for this Nas documentary. We got Hennessy as a sponsor. You said Nas? That's my favorite rapper. Say no more. I'm there. So we started filming like pickup shots of the documentary of his teachers from elementary school, all this stuff from his childhood. And I saw the credits when the Tribeca Film Festival, and I saw a producer next to my name. And I'm like, yo, Dave, this shit is wrong. I ain't no producer. I was just a cameraman. For years, I'm telling people I'm just a cameraman while I'm filming, editing, shooting, everything. Producing, everything. Man. I'm just calling myself a cameraman, not realizing I've been a producer. He's like, I'm like, yo, Dave, they made a mistake. He's like, no, they didn't, Alan. You produced. You went and filmed and you produced. I was like, what? not researching, you could really take an L out here.
Yeah.
A lot of people get so comfortable because they're chasing money, they don't even realize the space they're in. Yeah. I was a producer for all these years. I could have been demanding more for my value.
Yeah, because you could have been on the credits.
I could have been on credits. I could have been adding my value up earlier. Yeah. It took me like 8 years in the game to realize I've been doing this, and I wasn't even taking credit for it. So it was like that moment I started going on as producer on everything. So Revolt, I became one of the head producers in the New York City office. I was basically one of the head top producers at Revolt, at XXL, one of the head producers there. You couldn't tell me what I wasn't anymore. Now I know. You can't lie to me no more. You know what I'm saying?
You need your time. Like, you're getting pulled, you know, you're getting called, your family, your wife, business. Like, how do you balance all of that?
I'm a Libra.
The lucky Libra. So November was this is coming up. So when's your birthday?
October 2nd.
October 2nd.
It's coming out. It's beautiful. It's right there. That's October 2nd. Happy birthday,
Libra. Yo, I'm not. I mean, everybody not in astrology. You know the energy and all that. I'm into it, man. Like, I feel like I can't be at peace until I'm balanced. Like, I'm not happy when I'm not balanced.
Yeah.
I try to keep it as balanced as I can. And it's like, I know some people would be good in one place or another. I'm more or less like, all right, this is cool, but this ain't good enough no more. Like, I'm heavy in the stocks. I was making bank on stocks. During this year, knowing how everything's dropping,
a lot of people.
All puts.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say no more. Everybody that does stocks,
you know what it is.
Whole bunch of covered puts in here. You know what I'm saying? Whole bunch of covered puts in my portfolio.
Okay. Makes sense.
But I was so in the stocks that I started losing track of everything else because I was like, oh man, I'm waking up at 5 a.m. looking at the China report, looking at London. Oh, they're hurting over there. We might hurt today too. You know, I'm just getting. I get into things when I'm into. I'm into it. So, like, I have to pull back sometimes. And I know it sounds like cliche to say I balance myself, but I could feel when I'm pulling too much. I could feel when I'm not investing in. I feel like when I'm overdoing it, I always feel like I'm not happy enough. And it might seem like.
So how do you bring yourself back
so
to
like reality?
The zero.
So I guess, you know what, sometimes I need reality checks. I'll be honest, sometimes life does it for me. You know, sometimes life pulls it back for me. Like, I know during this whole market situation, I know one day Robinhood crashed. I lost a couple G's. And I said, oof, that hurt. You know, and I couldn't even pull out. Like, you just had to watch it sink. And I just said, all right, man. I stayed in for a few weeks, and I made back what I lost. And I said, all right, I'm going to pull back for a little bit. I'm too invested. Because anytime, like, you just, I feel like wherever you at, it's going to teach you what you need to learn. And I feel like in that moment, I learned that I'm just too invested in this. Because as much as I enjoy how quick the money comes from stocks and how easy it comes, I have a lot of investments that are taking losses because I'm too heavily invested in stocks. And that actually taught me how to balance my investments out too, because time is an investment. So as you lose, one stock could be making a lot more money while other stocks could lose, but you could be overall good if you're balancing it out. If you put everything in one portfolio, and your portfolio is just one stock, one thing everybody learns if you do investments after a while, you're taking some risks. I felt like, you know, just like me investing too much in Kim as my only source of income, me only investing in stocks as my only source of income was just taking too much risk. So I feel uncomfortable, I try to feel out what will help me bring comfort. Or not comfortable, let me not say comfortable. Whenever I feel like I'm missing something, I try to explore those feelings and find what it is. Because I don't want to just let it come and go, because then there's something important that I might be missing. So I try to take time and really, I meditate.
I was just about to ask you that.
I meditate.
Yeah, this is the meditation guy right here, man.
It's huge, bro. I meditate.
Yeah.
And I sit down sometimes and I let things filter themselves out. And I take... again, like what I was saying, feeling the space I'm in. You know, like, where am I at with everything? Like, what am I feeling right now with my family, finances, occupation? Wow, am I feeling this as a career for me next step? What's my goal? You know, what do I want to be in 10 years, 5 years? You know, and even setting goals. Like, one of the things that, you know, I used to, again, shout out to my comedy block family, but early in, you know, they used to hate me badgering them for goals. I used to have them write goals every Sunday, like, yo, because I need to know where you're going.
Yeah.
Because we could both be on the E-train, but yeah. I might be going from Hillside to 34th Street, and you might be going to Madison. I need to know where your stop is at.
That's major.
Because if we ain't getting off on the same stop, then we probably need to analyze this. So I know exactly how much I need to expect from you. Yeah, and I do the same thing for myself. Like, I try
to. A lot of people don't do that. No. They spend so much time with somebody, scared. And you'll never ask, like, yo, what are your goals? Y'all just sitting in the same company.
Word.
And it's just like.
Even with our partners, with our spouses, we don't be asking questions enough. Yeah. What are you expecting?
Yeah.
What is it? Like, what, how do you want to be buried? Not to, it's not a comfortable conversation, but. Shit, some people way too late.
Yeah,
like, oh, you wanted to be cremated? I didn't know. I've never asked. Yeah. Like, not to say that that's a comfortable conversation, but again, it's like you really don't know.
Yeah,
and I feel like, you know,
you assume.
Yeah,
and an assumption is never really the answer. It's important.
It's like, you realize how many people don't have goals.
They don't
not really have.
It scares them.
They don't like.
It's intimidating.
And I never thought about it. I was like, people don't set the goals. You got to set the goals. You know, have the conversation. With yourself.
I wanted to be a producer on a network one day. Not anymore. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to I wanted to go on tour one day. You know, now it's like a checklist. And checklist. As you keep going down, it keeps updating itself.
Yeah.
And I feel like we balance out as we keep adjusting to, you know, where we at.
Yeah.
So I feel like that, to answer your question, I guess that's sort of, those are all tied in, like meditation, goal setting, all that sort of helps me to understand where I'm at in the process and how I feel about it.
Now, with COVID, right? How can a younger person starting up now, just graduated college, get into this business?
Because what I'm going to tell you is what I tell myself all the time. You got to start where you at.
Start where you at.
Everything that you need is in front of you.
Mm.
You really don't got to go nowhere.
Yeah, you don't have to go nowhere.
You don't got
to
go nowhere. I did so much business during the quarantine. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I didn't have to leave the house.
Yeah. Wow.
I closed so many deals during quarantine. Yeah. And I'm not trying to brag, but I'm dead ass. Yeah. Like, I kick myself like, yo,
what was I doing?
Yeah, like, I was going to offices for nights. And I'm home doing sleeping, more money deals than I ever did in my life.
I was sleeping in the office.
I was renting a pool out. You know what I'm saying? I'm not playing.
That's hilarious.
I'm starting with what I have.
Yeah.
You got to look what you have, and then you move on.
Oh, I love that.
Move on from there.
Start with what you have.
Start with what you have. You know what I'm saying? Anything that you need is in front of you, and if you don't have it yet, then just figure out how you can work with what you have first. Because then what's going to happen is anything you attain after, that's just going to add value to it. You know what I'm saying? But you got to start with value first.
Yeah.
And you have value. A lot of people will be like, oh, I want to do this, but I don't have it. And they be having so much. I'm like, yo, you got a 9-to-5. You got a lot to start with right now.
Yeah.
Invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Put a piece of your check away and buy something. Like, I know I had people that had podcasts and wanted to do it, and they was like, you know, all these hurdles. And I'm like, I'm just hearing you complain right now.
Excuses.
Oh, it's just by nature, right? Like, by nature, a lot of us are trained to look at the negatives, and we overlook the positives. Because, like, that's, if somebody, you know, shows up at our door and said, we got $1 million, we slamming the door. But if someone shows up like, oh, you know, someone died, oh, we're going to have them come in and we talk to them. Because we accept negative energy or information quicker than we accept positive.
Mm.
So I feel like a lot of times, like, people don't really see the positives around them because they don't really do an audit of themselves. They don't really look. It's a fair thing. I think sometimes people are afraid to analyze themselves or analyze what they have because they feel insecure, or it brings negative thoughts when they see what they want and they don't have, rather than seeing the positives they have. Because that's just, even when I'm in a dark place, even when I'm not feeling my best, I automatically go into appreciation mode.
Gratitude.
Because when I take gratitude in, it helps me automatically shift that energy. Because it's like, we got to be a thermometer for ourselves. We got to be able to, not thermometer, we have to be the temperature. We have to be the thermostat. We have to be the thermostat for ourselves. We can't let these, because thoughts come, but thoughts go.
Mm.
And we could adjust it, but we don't often enough. We accept it for what it is.
We don't press mute.
We don't press mute, or we don't say, "Oh, turn the volume up on these parts."
Yeah.
Like, we don't go change channel. Like, there's so many things we could use that are right in front of us, and we'll automatically overlook it because we miss the value. And it's like, if you take time to appreciate the value in your life, you could really maximize all of it. Taking an account, the space that you're in.
I love it.
When they saw the content that we developed on our own, they was like, "So did you have any investors?" We was like, "Nah." They was like,
"They can't believe
you paid for this on your own?" We was like, "Yeah." How did you get these relationships? Like, yeah. We did a whole lot of grinding in this process. Yeah. And it's like, they just were shocked because they just couldn't believe the quality was so good. Mm. And it's funny because, like, you know, we actually was just trusting the process. We didn't know where it was going to go. Mm. We didn't know. Like, we got turned down by so many platforms that we was losing faith in the whole, like, not losing faith. I ain't going to lie. I never lost faith in it. Be honest with you. I was faithful the whole time. We had some battles. Like, my brother had caught cancer midway through this process, and it took a lot of psychological tolls on trying to push things because you're trying to deal with balance of family.
Wow, yeah.
You know? But, like, even in the process of this, right, you know, we all were just trusting the process. For real, like, I didn't get the deals that I wanted, but the deal that I needed came right on time. Like, I thought I was gonna end up on Vibe at one point. I thought I was gonna be on Double XL at one point. I thought I was gonna be a Revo at one point. Yo, we about to have our shit streamed on Pluto soon. Pluto is a digital platform that's owned by Viacom. We were thinking, like, we're gonna get on all these platforms just to end up on a platform that's going to actually stream us through Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
And Pluto is a platform that's on all of your TVs. It's on every HD TV that's out. I was on my PlayStation 4 and realized that I had the Pluto app saved on there. Mm-hmm. I was actually on my cable box and realized that Pluto is actually one of the widgets on my Fios service, on Comcast, on Optimum. I'm looking at this shit like, yo,
yeah,
we thought we were going to be on one. We're actually going to be streamed through all these mediums.
That's amazing.
And this Pluto TV thing is owned by Viacom and CBS. Yes.
That's so amazing.
We're a part of a whole. We really are dealing with less ceilings right now.
Yeah.
Those are greater than your expectations.
Exactly.
Right? Because you didn't.
Way greater. That's where the consistency.
Shout out to Doe TV.
That's it.
I said shout out to Doe TV. That's one of our partners.
Okay. Shout out to you guys.
Shout out to Doe TV.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And listen, man, I'm so proud of you, man. I'm so proud of Mr. Magic. I'm so proud of, like, this whole journey, man. Like,
thank you.
It's so cool, man. Rare. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you, Fred.
I'm just glad that
I'm just glad.
It's my man own buildings, man.
He acted humble. Look, my man got property. You gotta have a plan. You gotta have some foresight. Bro. My wife is one of the people that really got me into, like, you know, thinking forward about how I'm spending my money and how I'm saving and how I'm trying to put, like, I just cleared up all my credit this year.
Good.
I'm trying to buy a laundromat. And I know I talked to you
earlier. Yes, you talked about it.
Knowing that there's no real retirement plan when it comes to media jobs. You know, a lot of these guys don't have, like, a 401k invested.
We have to create it.
You got
to
multiply your investments and spread out. Sometimes you can't diversify. Yeah, I'm sorry. Right. You got to diversify your investments out here. If you're just in media and you're into the art of it, beautiful. But if you can't handle the finances of it, then you're going to have to find ways of looking into how you're going to retire. And I feel like for me owning a few laundromats is going to be my retirement plan. I want to have some property. I want to have some laundromats that make money in my sleep, some residual income.
And there's always going to be need for that. Not everyone's going to have a laundromat in their homes.
During the quarantine, yo, I went to get my tire changed in Queens, and the dude was like, "Yeah, it's whatever dollars." I was like, "All right, cool. Can I use my card and come?" So, you know, whatever. He was like, "Nah, just cash." I said, "Damn, where's the nearest ATM machine?" This is like late March, where, like, everybody's shut down. He said, "Oh, just go to the laundromat, man. They got ATM in the laundromat at the corner." I said, "All right." I go to the corner. Laundromat open. Everything was shut down in quarantine. Laundromat was open.
Of course.
Because people still got to get their clothes clean.
Yeah.
It's quarantine proof.
You know, those are the type of things I was thinking about during the quarantine, too, man. Right. I was thinking about...
I was Gene up early in the year, like, yo, bro, I need prices.
Like, he's early.
Early. Like,
I was thinking about that, like...
Just January before this shit.
What businesses are, like... recession proof. Now you gotta think about COVID proof.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And
they had a little plastic set up after every washing machine.
So it's good.
Things,
man,
to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. We asked our guest this last question.
Yeah.
Right. Out of faith, grind, inspire, which word resonates with you? I'm really curious about this one. with you. And if it's not just one, I'll give you.
Inspire.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking.
I know. Inspire.
All right, go ahead.
When it comes to your faith, or even if you're in religion or whatever aspect of life, normally no one just, it doesn't just pop up at you.
Mm.
Something inspired you to do that.
Mm.
Something inspired you to get to that point. And it doesn't just happen on your own. So you had to get to that with some inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
In order for you to even grind, you had to be inspired before you could even start grinding.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be an inspiration for you to start. There's a catalyst there. And I feel like for faith, grind, and inspiring, I think inspire has to be the catalyst that leads you to both. So I would say if you had to choose one, I'm going to start with inspire. Like, there's a scripture where he says, pick up your bed and walk. Picking up your bed and walking is grind, right? Yeah. Believing you can pick up your bed and walk is faith. You got inspired before you could do both.
That's true. That's true.
So
that's true.
I was, and you know, I ain't gonna over talk. You know, that's it, man. Like I feel like that's dope. You know, I big you guys up for doing podcasts like this. Cause I just recently started doing podcasts myself, just for fun. I don't care about money on this one. This is just, so I wanted to do something as a hobby. Cause like, again, filming all the time for money, selling shows and working as a producer, it becomes really just business all the time, and it could take the fun away from the art of it. So I wanted to balance myself out. I started doing a podcast called the Over Your Head Podcast, the OYH.
Yeah.
And I value podcasts so much more now, doing it myself. I do it right here in the backyard. Like I'm actually have to find another location for the winter. But I usually just talk about hip hop, and like, you know, I basically deep dive into all these different like parts of like songs or pieces of art that we might have missed. So it's called the Over Your Head Podcast, or the OYH.
I love that.
And it's basically a dope podcast where I just go over music and like art and just talk about stuff that I enjoyed that blew my mind when I found out. Like, oh, crap, that's what they meant. Oof. Like, you know, so I mean, big ups to y'all for just doing this, man. Like, I know podcasting is, it's a lot harder than it looks.
Yeah.
And I know that it takes time and it takes a lot of effort. Yeah. And I know that you guys are going to you're going to definitely get rewarded for everything that you put in. But I just wanted to shout you guys out and
thank
big you up.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Like, we started this podcast just literally because I was sick and tired of people saying entrepreneurship is easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I was like, no, it's not.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
You
know, and they need this.
Yeah. And so it's not. And you hear other podcasts and all they do is bring people on and talk about how they can make a lot of money. And I'm like, I don't really want to talk about that.
Mm.
I want to talk about the journey. I like the process. Mm-hmm. I'm more in love with the process. Mm-hmm. If you told me, yeah, man, I just happened. I'm just dope.
Shit's like, just hot.
I just sold the
gold
show
out here.
You know, nah, this is it.
Ain't that easy.
Like, it's not that easy.
Nah, ain't that easy, like, bro.
The process to me is the,
I'm a student, you know, man. I'm a student first, man.
Yeah.
I love learning.
Yeah.
So that's
keep on exploring.
Yeah, keep on exploring, you man. You know, and so thank you for that, man.
No problem.
And so that part. And we learn every day, man. Like with the podcast, I remember one episode, I left the computer because I'm so used to going to just record.
Sorry, right? Man.
I'm so used to going to record. I bring the equipment, but then forgot the laptop.
Yeah.
Thank God for the producer Brietta.
Yeah.
She had the laptop.
Shout
so then
Bri.
But then we problem solve. We solve as entrepreneurs, it's always about solving problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How to process problems, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, you have your laptop? All right, cool. So now we have to download Adobe Audition, and we have to figure out, and we made it happen, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it took a little longer off schedule, but this is another thing, and I'm going to close here, I swear.
Mm. I'm sorry, but something's so golden you're saying.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Close on this.
Okay.
Like, I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
So many people get stuck on the problem.
Mm. Yep.
So many people get stuck on a problem, and that's where they miss like the moments that's in front of them.
Yeah.
Because that's where the opportunity really lies.
Solutions.
Not staying at the problem, but figuring out how to get over that hurdle.
Over the hurdle.
And the solution territory. Because yep. Like a lot of people get the problem become a wall, and they don't get over it. They don't get past it. They stay stuck on it.
I can't believe this happened.
So focused.
This curveball really upsets me. Okay. Well, learn how to swing better now.
Yeah. That's it.
Let's adjust to this curveball.
Yeah.
You know.
But what I was saying was, what I've learned throughout the years, and even when we recorded the podcast today, like all the time, it's, and this is why when people ask me how do you balance certain things, how do you get stuff done, mm-hmm. I say, look, I focus on the task, not time. I can't manage time, but I can manage the task.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I have to get done today,
mm-hmm.
as long as I get those things done today, I'm a success. But if I try to manage, okay, this podcast we're going to record from 1 to 2.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes it's just out of your hand. Like, we, yeah. It was raining. Yeah. Like, we can't stuck.
I actually like the rain a little bit.
I did like the rain.
I actually like this.
It rained. You know, like it rained like vibe. It rained like three or four times.
I feel it.
When you were talking about Nipsey, the sun came out. And then when you stopped talking about Nipsey, it started raining on us again.
Crazy.
And we didn't stop. It was raining. Nah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But the thing is, it's like, but this is the thing. If you try to. And we didn't, this is supposed to be a 45-minute podcast, yeah. And it's like 2 hours. Yeah, it's like an hour and a half, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it was cool.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's interesting, right? Shout out to Joe Buttons and Rory and Maul.
Big shout out to
you know
Maul,
what I'm saying? Those guys, I met them.
Parks.
Right? and all these guys that's part of that whole team. Because they be having like 4-hour podcasts,
yeah.
And I listen to it.
I do too, though.
I listen to it, and they don't have two parts, three parts, like.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because then I listen to other podcasts. That's like it'll be like 1 hour and 20 minutes, and they split it into two, and then I'm like, yo, you could have just let it play, because you don't know where people are. Like I listen to it while I'm working, right?
Same.
So I don't want to listen to two parts, like you know what I'm saying. So maybe it's not a 2-parter, right? You know what I mean?
But they know Joe Buttons. They
got me.
They will. Like, you know what's funny? I take credit in it, but now I gotta get out of myself.
Yo, we're gonna have you. You're like the next one, man. Like you're it, bro. Like
I'm just,
I don't know. I don't have any friends that sold the show to a network.
Your story is inspiring,
bro. I mean, I probably do. One of my boys is probably like, "Word, son, what about me?" but I'm thinking about all the
he's from a Dad's one. He run vibe. I'm right here.
Nah,
I'm
not there to
you. Yo, bro. Potential for long term, staying at the rate that your growth is just, and in the mindset that you have to continuously say, I'm just gonna keep learning.
Keep learning. Keep exploring.
That motivates me.
It just keeps.
I was gonna quit at 30. I was gonna stop if I didn't get a certain way. I was like, nah, I ain't gonna stop.
Can't stop.
The year after that, I was like, oh shit, I got more opportunity.
And they say it's usually that one little step. People stop right when they're about to see success.
Of course.
That's what they say usually happens. Just right when they're about to see success is when they stop.
Shout out to Vanessa Sad, man. Nah, I big up everybody over there because they gave me an opportunity to come and flex my muscle and I have fun. You know what I mean? It was cool. Like it was a short period. It wasn't as long as my tenure at Revolt, but it was still a valuable one. I mean, I love to take every lesson and learn from it. So
you
Vanessa
learned.
Sadden is one of the Vanessa Sadden is the editor in chief there.
Okay.
And I got to really build with some cool guys like JFK. You know,
JFK still there?
JFK actually moved on. He went to another platform now.
Oh.
I forgot the name of the platform.
Okay.
But he's been a really, you know, he's cool.
Yo, JFK was one of my residents.
Yeah, that's right. You did tell me that.
Yeah. He's the one when he went to Vibe.
Yeah.
Introduced me, and we when we did the collaboration with 50 Cent and This Is 50, and we did This Is 50 Comedy.
Yeah,
he was the one that connected Vibe as our main media sponsor because 50 was on the cover.
Get out of here!
It was crazy, man.
Get out of here, full circle.
Full circle, man. We gotta end this.
Oh yeah,
because we're gonna be here. So
there's gonna be more shout outs.
There's gonna be more shout outs. This wasn't even an interview. This was
like a half hour ago. He was like, "Yo, tell me where to find your social media."
Yes. I didn't say social media. How do we follow?
No, it's just the conversation is flowing, so I'm not mad. I'm laughing because like it's so genuine.
This is genuine, bro. This is cool, man. I love it, man.
Yeah.
And we are poolside, bro. Like all we're missing right now is like the drink champs vibe. We're some drinks.
The pina colada.
Pina colada. You got to add the pina colada. I would have had some. I don't know. I would have some Baileys or some.
Oh man.
Yeah, man. Just.
It's crazy because I don't even sip pina coladas. It's such a sweet drink. Yeah. I like Long Island iced teas.
I haven't had a Long Island iced tea since I was in college.
I don't drink. I don't drink like I used to.
I can't drink a Long Island iced tea. I'll be finished.
I go to sleep.
I sleep.
Well,
that visual, just you laughing and seeing all those people working around, and all of a sudden the taste
I became one of them.
It changes. I got to do better. But most people would be in that cocky standpoint,
for
like,
real
they look at them working, look at them, I'm comfortable.
Yeah,
I'm comfortable.
Feet crossed. Yeah.
But perspective is everything.
I used to have some out-of-body experiences sometimes, just driving there, like, yo, I'm about to go to Miami with little Kim. Like, what is life right now? Like, that's where am I? Yeah. Like, feels different. Yeah. But then you just keep growing, and, you know, the goal so changes.
Crazy, yeah. Yo, shout out to my cousin, Pitcher Perfect. Another shout out.
Shout out to Pitcher Perfect.
Pitcher Perfect, nah, man. Can you retire? Let some young cameramen get this shot.
He's not going to let nobody.
You ain't letting your foot off our necks.
He's not going to do it, bro.
Pitcher's like, nah, I'm doing every fucking video to here. Yeah,
yo, man, this
from
guy,
the 99 to the 2000,
this
G.
Guy, this guy, when he came back, he was like, yeah, man.
He ain't playing.
You like that Cardi B song?
Yeah.
I was like, that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, he was like, yo, that lion, that tiger, that was me. I was like, what, Dubai?
I was like, even while I was working with Kim, we was hiring Pitcher Perfect to do her main videos. Like, I was like, all right, fine, fuck you. All right, I'm gonna do the background,
man. My cousin, bro, I remember my cousin doing videos for Steve Harvey at Apollo.
Yeah,
you know, bringing back
that's your cousin.
Pitcher Perfect, my cousin.
Big up,
yeah.
Man. Nah,
yeah. Yo, bro, he would bring CDs like mixtapes, and then I would take them and I'll record them and go back to Deer Park and sell them.
Oh,
you know,
shit.
Yeah, that was my
big up, Sam.
But yo, shout out to Pitcher, man. Yeah. Like, I've been telling Pitcher like to come on the show. And he's like, yeah, cuz, yeah, you know.
Nah, he busy.
Oh, yeah, you know. whenever, you know, we family, you know.
This is what I said, man.
I'm like, yo, man.
I'm on into the TV side. I can take some breaks. I'm washed. I stay home a lot.
You stay home
a
lot?
I like being home.
Yo, bro,
nowhere.
Yeah. He's never home. I was like, yo, bro, you're on quarantine, man. Like, stay your ass home.
We about to go film in Miami for a month.
Who, you?
Yeah, but I'm coming back home.
Catch your vibe.
Yeah, man, it's too cold to film in the winter.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to keep filming.
So
we got a deal now. We got to go.
They need
episodes.
So when can we look yeah. to see it on streaming?
October 17th. We just got our first episode out, and I'm really proud. I'm like,
yo, we got to tune in, bro.
I'm happy. You know, go check it out. Definitely look. Listen, I'm not even going to make y'all go too hard. Just go to DJ Magic's Instagram. You're gonna see me and him promoting the hell out of it. Go to I am DJ Magic on Instagram.
Okay.
And on Instagram, you can follow me too at Allen_AB. That's Allan_AB. Real simple.
Yes.
If you follow any one of us, you can click the link in our bio and you'll get all the info you need for the episodes and where to find them.
Because
I know everybody got different providers and platforms they might want to check it out on. So you can see all of it laid out in front of you.
Amazing. Yeah. This was incredible one, man. I tell people, learn from this man. Be an asset. Because I can't stress it enough. There are people that come in there, they want to be an artist. They'll go to the big name and say, yo, I got this song. And it's like, you're just looking. What can you bring? Bring some value.
Yeah, bring value.
It goes a long way because everybody's getting approached the same way. But if you actually take...
Stands out.
Just stand out or even just looking out for a man that's somebody that doesn't have as many followers. These little things go a long way. So our entrepreneurs that are looking to get into the game, just take these simple tips because it's really about bringing value, and it's not about just looking about me first. How can I help everybody else around me so that I can actually be add value? And you'll see it. And this is just another great interview, man. So thank you again.
No problem,
man.
Spread that value, man. Sometimes people come up, you don't know who they're gonna be. A lot of people I didn't sleep on, but a lot of guys I helped, I didn't know they were gonna end up working on other platforms, and they helped me in some ways. Now, I wasn't looking for help, but it's just that love is reciprocated. Spread love.
Thank you for tuning in to another great episode, right? thank you, Allan, for being having this conversation with us, man.
Yeah, okay.
Like, this new platform, I feel free, right? Nice. Normally, I think all our episodes would be super long if we didn't have someone like... They used to say this thing. Tim used to say this. Shout out to Tim. Tim used to say this hard out. I didn't know what a hard out was.
Yeah, he's a real producer. Huh?
I didn't know what the hell a hard out was until Tim. Tim was like, yo, Gene, we have a hard out at 1:45.
Yeah.
Like, I used to be like, all right. Ooh, and then all of a sudden, you would see the studio. Like, people would be recording. waiting to use the studio space. Yeah, yeah. So when you have a studio, you're limited. You have time slots. So it was like, you couldn't even get into like the good part of the conversation because it was just like super fast and just like,
I get it.
Like a, you know, it's so hard. I love this. Yeah. This is like how I envisioned a show in the beginning.
Nice.
Coming to a person and doing it this way.
The goal keeps elevating.
Yeah, man. So it's cool. Like, I love this. So I appreciate you, man. So thank you for coming on.
No problem.
Thank you guys for thank you, Kobe.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Brianna. Thank you for to all our viewership. And
thank you, Gaina, for giving him, you know, the support at home so he can come out and be the man he is.
Yes.
Shout out to your wife, Gaina.
Yes, shout out to my wife, man. Shout out to Anu.
Shout out to the supportive partners.
Supportive partners, man.
We can't do this without y'all.
Nah, hell no. We need you guys, man. Like, and so thank you guys for all our viewership, our listenership on whatever platform, wherever you listen to it. I appreciate you. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. And subscribe.
Check out Catching a Vibe. Riding Out, the new series, the newest season. Because, we was on Hot 97, but we on a new platform now. And shout out to DJ Magic.
DJ Magic.
You know, shout out to myself. Look at my podcast as well.
Yes.
The Over Your Head Podcast. Mm. Please tune
in. Where?
It's on Instagram. I keep it simple for y'all. Y'all don't got to go far. Come right here. Instagram. Go to my Instagram. It'll be right there. You don't have to look for it.
Amazing, word.
Man. IGTV, you know that.
IGTV, do it, man. Just follow my man. Learn from him. Build. Add value. Out of this whole podcast, the one big takeaway I could see for you guys coming up is to add value to whatever situation you're part of. That's it. Amen. So follow us, Faith Grind Inspire, on YouTube, on everywhere. So if you need some inspiration and this episode gave you some inspiration, man, like, share it with someone who needs like a little push. And you just have to stay consistent, stay persistent, never give up. Yeah. Keep going no matter what, like Reginald Francis Lewis says. Keep the faith, keep grinding, and never stop. God bless you guys. Peace.